Y'all want to pick the Pantone color of the year?
What are, do we have choices?
Is it not Pant One?
No, I just figured we should be in charge of that. I'm sure they have one. I'm sure it's lovely.
I can't handle that responsibility.
All right. It's looking like a nice twilight purple.
Well, they've already picked it. Damn.
I know, but I'm saying that I disregard that. Okay. I just, in my opinion, they have not.
I see.
Well, couldn't there just be more than one arbiter?
Like, it's trash.
Don't acknowledge what Pantone has to say.
Yeah, we are the like. Sucks. We can be like the Splinter Cell Color Academy.
We are Antone, Antitone.
Ooh, Antiphone.
It's a good gimmick they have. Color of the year, because like.
But I love it because like, what are you gonna sell off that? Nothing. It's great.
Who can say it's not like an award where you're like, oh, this one was just like, how can you get mad about it?
Fucking Puce was robbed. Third year in a row. Although this seems like a very Puce year. I would pick colors just because they're fun to say. Periwinkle.
I would imagine lots of people get mad for sports reasons, political reasons, national flags.
Sure.
There was this Reddit thread, and I don't remember what community it was in, but it was like, what is your hobby, and what is the most niche argument within that hobby that is tearing your community apart? And it was like, stuff like, okay, I paint rocks. Like, you know, I paint smiling face daisies on rocks, and the community is being torn limb from limb because this one girl is using like a petroleum-based sealant on her rocks, and everyone thinks they're too shiny. And she didn't. Like put in the work to polish them. She just put like basically Vaseline on them, and it was causing this huge, like, this is my favorite. And I can't remember the exact form. I've gone and looked for this thread, and I can't find it again. But like, the biggest fight within the narrowest possible segment of the population is just my favorite thing we do as a species.
It sounds like these other rock people are just doing too much work.
Haters.
The woman who's the executive director of the Pantone Color Institute is named Leatrice, like Beatrice, but with an L at the front.
Congratulations.
I've seen that somewhere before. That's not really? The first Leatrice. Yeah.
That sounds like a color in itself. That's like a warm sunflower yellow.
Leatrice. It is sort of a weird...
Or maybe like, a nice fuchsia.
It's like an emotional nominative determinism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm really glad you said that because, Ryan, you have led directly into my argument for Daniel Craig's accent work.
Good.
Which is that, though it may not be pinpoint accurate, it is a lockstep emotional truth with North Carolina, and thus mm-hmm. is perfect.
Also, I'd like to briefly thank... Bunky.
Is server frozen like this, or can I just screen? Oh, God damn it! I was going to screen cap you like that.
No, he's just being iconic.
No, I was like just watching the 2003 Aaron's $3.99 at Talladega.
You look like a little angel statue.
Just so
like
y'all
a
know,
precious moments doll.
Auburn has opened the application to fill 3 seats on the University Board of Trustees.
I'll take it.
So
which 3 of us are gonna? We break
I think
a
we should. Honestly, I think we should
pieces.
All apply and let Auburn decide which 3 of us
Wait,
deserve the spot.
Pick your poison,
Clearly, we
Auburn.
Should put all, or should we put all ourselves behind Josh Black?
I don't know if we have much clout to offer. So,
all right, let's assume Josh gets 1 and we get 2 of the others. That seems good, right? Okay. And that way, effectively, Josh has 3 seats on the board because we'll just do whatever he tells us.
So,
to
if we're going
to
talk about trends, I'm just going to go ahead.
This is literally how Bobby Lauder ran shit.
Yeah, I'm going to start with my favorite trend for 2023: lying about everything. I have a dog track, several of them, and worth around $300 million. liquid bitch.
I like how you've started writing his name George Santos with a question mark.
Who knows?
Like that's part of the styling.
Yeah.
David Roth said that George Santos should go up to, I forget, Lauren Boebert and say that he won the 2011 Slam Dunk Contest.
Just do it.
Just do it.
He should say he won. He's going to go up to her and claim he won her seat.
Sure.
Ooh. And he might have.
Yeah.
Oh, I like this. It's like a form of musical chairs. We should just airdrop one person in a nice navy suit into the Capitol and be like, what do you mean? I'm Congressman X.
I'm George Santos.
I am Alfarious.
I mean, no, wait, here's my birth certificate. Well, that's your opinion.
George Santos is the first member of the Alpha Legion. I love this.
Your birth what? Government document?
I am Spartacus.
Plant.
I don't acknowledge fiat identification.
Like, when a person cannot get straight whether their mother died on 9/11 or a decade later.
I feel like you're, this is a real crazy day.
He lost his mother on 9/11. We don't know what he didn't mean in, like,
In some perspectives, are we not still enduring 9/11?
Sure. She was forever changed.
I appreciate the swiftness with which we answered the question, will we enter a fourth consecutive year of 2020, or have we moved on?
Yeah.
And I like that we have sewn that answer up immediately.
Yeah.
Nah, we're still here.
Route 9/11, that's in Maryland. That's right, that's where I lost her.
Makes you think.
Yeah.
I lost mine in the mall.
It's like a real Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father, did he? Kind of thing.
So George Santos' mother is a Sith Lord.
Is Darth Vader. Became Darth Vader on 9/11, and then Darth Vader died in 2020.
I'm going to recut Star Wars where it's like, he never told you what really happened.
Oh, we're going to recut Skywalker. Star Wars, huh? That's definitely 2020.
So when my mother became a Sith Lord, I called 9/11.
That's right.
Those are the numbers I put
Darth
on my phone.
That's
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then, in order to conceal my activities, I went under a different name and put it on a GoFundMe. And with that, you just need one loan. That's what I really understand from all this. If we want to become Auburn boosters, we just need one loan. You just need one person. Because I've seen the text messages that, like, Elon Musk has sent to people, right? And it's like, I need $5 billion. And, like, there's, like, nine people who are like, we can do it by noon.
Do we want to prioritize that over buying a bowl?
Yeah.
Why not both? Okay. If we're lying, just say you own the bowl.
We can't do them simultaneously.
So you can just say you own the bowl.
To buy a bowl, you first need bullshit. And then the bullshit buys the bowl.
Okay.
Yeah. But the bowl.
I was just thinking that naming rights for the New Mexico Bowl were running, what, like $65,000 a couple of years ago?
My thing is, naming rights is playing the game the way they want you to play it. If you just say it's the shutdown full cast Rose Bowl, it is.
Okay, it's January 3rd. What bowl is ours for next December?
Well,
I'm going to take back the Outback Bowl, and I'm going to call it the Outback Bowl.
We'll need to wait and see which bowls exist.
It's
always always shaky.
Not the Fenway.
So whether the Outback Bowl exists or not, we claim it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is tying the existence of the bowl to the physical plane what the government wants?
The Cheez-It Outback Gator Bowl, played in Fenway Park.
You had me until
Fenway. Yeah.
The Frisco
played in Montreal.
The Frisco Bowl in Miami Beach.
Wow.
There we go. Move it back. Yeah, put it back. The Put It Back Bowl. We'll have it at the Suez Canal on the boat, which will be back.
Ooh, let's do like
a campaign promise to you.
I'm papacy at back. Avignon thing and claim that the Rose Bowl always belonged in North Carolina and that the one year it was there, that was the true Rose Bowl and all others have been pretenders.
Everybody who says otherwise is disrespecting World War II.
And its Pope is sausage magnate Jimmy Dean.
R. And then what do we have? An East and a West no longer schismed.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. Joining me, as always, is Jason Kirk, Ryan Nanny, Holly Anderson.
Hello.
And on the ones and twos, Michael Serber, who today, though you cannot see it, is sporting a lovely University of Florida Fighting Gators sweatshirt.
Can't prove it.
Can't prove it. Except with this screen cap. Oh!
You can't just say click, right?
That's how it works.
There's screen cap.
Threaten to screen cap somebody else when you're wearing a tank top to the taping.
This is the Lucha?
This is the Lucha Underground tank top. Thank you very much. Lucha Underground.
Dead, oh no, don't own me by screenshotting me in my badass Lucha tank top.
I know. In my extremely cool Lucha limited edition unavailable anywhere else Lucha tank top.
People will know I like wrestling.
Oh no, you'll know I like really cool wrestling.
It's January 3rd, which means at worst, Spencer is on pace to spend 4 months of the year in a tank top. Which tracks.
Living. L-I-V-I-N.
Did you wear a tank top yesterday?
When I worked out,
Did you wear that tank top yesterday?
I'm not counting workout tank tops. Just casual tank
what?
Tops.
What? Like, that's not part of life. You're talking about, like, are you...
No, but that's not a useful... That's like saying I wore a swimsuit when I went swimming.
Ryan, is it an amount of time thing? What if Spencer worked out for, like, 7 hours?
Did you work out for 7 hours?
I did.
I want to know.
I'm so glad.
I want to know if you're in a couple marathons. Since you worked out yesterday. Have you changed clothes?
Yes, I did change clothes.
Okay. Did you wear a tank top on New Year's Day?
I did not. I did not. So right. I didn't really get the year off to the start that I wanted to.
Again, as you mean to go on, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Already behind in my resolutions. We need to talk about it real quick, just because we're recording, and it's January 3rd.
Great segue, pal.
I know. Last night was...
it'll be January 4th by the time you hear this.
Yep. And the...
Completely different day.
The game last night between the Bengals and the Bills featured one of the most horrifying on-field injuries and medical incidents that I think I've ever seen in sports. There's really only two or three that compare. None that I would like to actively remember while talking about this, and also simultaneously remembering seeing DeMar Hamlin, who suffered full cardiac arrest on the field. Game was suspended, then postponed, and now ultimately canceled. First thing is that DeMar Hamlin, a Pitt alum, we want to say best wishes to the family, everything, all the good thoughts, all of the good vibes sent their way.
Near and dear to our hearts, not only as a Pitt Panther, but a beloved pillar of his own Pennsylvania community.
Yeah, his big charity project was a toy drive that he did around Christmas.
He started that when he was at Pitt. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that got out last night, but that has been going since he was a student, and it was originally set up to benefit. His mom runs a daycare, and it was to buy toys for the kids at the daycare.
Yeah, the goal was $2,500, and people last night who I think were just bereft and shocked and looking for something to do in the face of the inexplicable and the horrible just decided to start giving money to his toy drive. And I looked at it about 2 hours ago, and it was at $3.8 million. $3.8 million.
It feels like something of a miracle in itself that people were thrashing around for something to do and landed on a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that in itself feels like something to be grateful for.
Yeah. And as of recording, he is in critical condition at UCMC in Cincinnati.
A good hospital. Glad they were right there.
That is true. Just to sort of acknowledge that and say that, yeah, that's, I don't want that to be an elephant in the room. That's a horrible thing. And also sending like to anyone on that team, of course, you know, like, we're thinking about you. I'm thinking in particular of T. Higgins, who is on the other end of that hit. That is Oak Ridge's own T. Yes. Higgins.
Whose mom was actually up from Knoxville last night to watch the game. She was in the stadium. She was in the stadium during pregame warmups. So glad that she was able to hug her boy in person last night.
Yeah, I think this whole thing involves like several communities really near to us, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and you know, a lot of people have said a lot of heartfelt things. I agree with all of them, and honestly, all I come back to is I want Hamlin to see a big number on that toy drive.
Yeah,
like we don't, you know, by the time this episode comes out, we do not know what the state of the news will be. Obviously, we have our hopes. I just want him to see a really big number.
Imagine waking up and saying, hey, you have what's surely above $4 million by now to give back to your community. I said this last night, but this is, we are capable of being, this is who we're capable of being. And This is the point of the year at which I usually feel the lowest about that particular sentiment, but hey, there's this, and April's just around the corner.
Also, I think this is obviously secondary or tertiary to everything going on in the story, but it bears some repeating that if you were like us and one of the people who was watching this on broadcast television in any form, streaming, cable, or otherwise, you were probably put in the same position as the people who were covering the games, which is that you didn't have much information. You didn't really know what was going on, and it could have gone a lot worse. And I just wanted to say there was nobody I wanted on the television more in that moment where you didn't quite know what to do than Scott Van Pelt. I just thought that I thought he did a good job. That's all.
Let's not leave that moment without I do not think everybody on television last night was prepared to meet the moment.
No.
But while we're here, let's give some flowers to him, to Ryan Clark, to Lisa Salters, to Booger McFarland, all of whom had their humanity up on their lapels last night, and hope that some of their peers and younger folks watching can, and, you know, possibly some league's executives watching can learn from that, but let's not get crazy.
Yeah.
You wrote something earlier today, too, that I want to make sure sticks with people. We don't know how this turns out without the two coaches and leaders among the players on either team, including their quarterbacks and their NFLPA reps on both teams. We don't know if there's not a lot of documentation when this stuff happens on the fly. You probably have a lot of people having conversations rather than firing frantic emails back and forth. But I don't know that we get last night's resolution if it's not for the coaches, for Joe Burrow, for Josh Allen, for the Players Association, saying, whoa, 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 back it the fuck in.
Yeah. Like, ultimately, everybody on the field decided to do what was best for them and by them and by their people. And if you're in that kind of position, I hope that's the decision you make, because I think it was the right one, but I also think it's the one that you can live with. And it's the one that, though it's not at all in the best interests of the business or the company. If it's not in the best interest of the people, then frankly, you can tell the company to fuck off anyway, because it's nothing without them. So just on that thought, you know, good on them for being there for their people and for each other, most importantly.
The only other thing I wanted to add, because you all have covered it more than well, I've just been thinking a lot about the people of Buffalo. I know we have some listeners there, but even those who don't, which is a smart choice in and of itself. Obviously, Buffalo got hit very badly by this recent blizzard. I think nearly 40 people died in it, some of them in their cars, which seems like a horrible way to lose a loved one. And the city has been through a lot after that, and to have this happen in a moment that's supposed to sort of provide you some escape and some peace is probably a lot there too. So I hope Bills fans are hanging in there and are doing the best that they can. And if you're not, that's okay too. Like I think one thing that made the broadcast portion of last night really challenging is that there's not a ton to say other than it's just brutally sad and unfortunate, and it feels sometimes insufficient or maybe unintelligent to keep it that simple, but sometimes that is just what the situation is. It's just something that just wrecks you and is brutal to watch and experience, and that's all there is to it.
There's not a great way to pivot out of this.
No.
Nah.
But we talked about whether or not to do the show today, and, you know, we don't know what the news will be by the time we finish recording this show. At the moment, it's 2:30 on Tuesday afternoon. You guys will get this show on Wednesday. But we thought we would just take a little time out of time, do some do some off-topic things. There's a title game coming up, apparently, so that's very interesting. Between two other schools that are near and dear to our hearts. So we're just going to freestyle for a little bit. We wanted to hang out with each other today, and we want to hang out with you virtually. So have a little Wednesday afternoon hang with us for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have ourselves gathered up, hopefully by the championship game.
So note the level of togetherness that we are going for here. We are aiming so high that Holly has described the Georgia Bulldogs as dear to our hearts.
That's canon, isn't it? I meant to say near and dear, and I was like, Georgia gets the geographical.
Okay, literally near and emotionally near. And TCU, near,
yeah, that was a stumble on my part. Georgia was near and TCU is dear. And I forgot my own joke mid-sentence because I was staring out into the bleak midwinter.
That's a sentence that really you can sell.
Yeah.
It, which is Georgia school X is near to my heart, as in
they are very
as in if I dropped a pin. Near.
Right.
Listen.
As in if I took my heart out and threw it, I could get close-ish to Athens.
Don't do that.
I can't. I can't auto Kalima. Okay.
Here's how I look at it. Stetson Bennett got Jason paid, and we love Jason, so therefore, we love Stetson Bennett, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do.
In a way, I see this game as a blessing, because there was no real chance of a house divided championship game for this show, not with both of our with both of our beloved teams in this particular bracket ending up in the Fiesta. Funny as it would have been for Georgia to just get wrecked, and they came close. I don't know that I could have gotten through this week with the specter of an Ohio State national championship hanging over me. I feel bad enough about too much other shit. I don't need that cloud. I don't need that negativity in my life. Just give me a TCU team to root for. Give me the possibility that a team that so many people said is bullshit is going to ardently bullshit their way, and I mean bullshit with the biggest amount of affection possible.
When is the last time we had a national championship where maybe it's last year. I don't know if that's
Michael
true.
Dyer was down.
Was that the last place where if you were a true neutral, you could say, oh, this is easy. I know who I'm supposed to emotionally pull for.
Ooh, I mean,
It might be Oregon, last year. Maybe Oregon, last year, it's just like, I don't want Alabama again.
LSU 2019 has an argument.
Okay.
I mean, they were charismatic as hell. I will go with that. I could also, you know what? The 2014 Ohio State run was weird, just because of Cardale. Like Cardale,
it wasn't clearly you should pull for.
I can't imagine pulling for Ohio State over Oregon, but you know.
Yeah, but that was at least a narratively interesting.
We don't have Bama or Clemson. I found it hard picking a candidate between Georgia and Bama. I found it hard picking a candidate between Bama and Ohio State. The last one I found a true neutral delight in was that Joe Burrow team.
I will say this. I've seen a lot of, like, at least it's not Bama Clemson. Mm-hmm. And, like, it wasn't that long ago that it was cool that Clemson had sort of made this jump. Yes.
Yeah, right. We talked about this because remember we talked about, and we, Cerber and I have talked about this a couple times since, how we were talking about, won't it be weird when we don't like Clemson fans? Can you imagine that? And dear God, they sold that move. They sold that move so beautifully.
I love when this happens because, like, to me, the bellwether for this is always the Brady Belichick Patriots. Who that first year, that first run, it was like, holy shit, what an underdog taking down the greatest show on turf.
Fucking self.
It was captivating in a way that didn't have a bunch of like, oh Jesus, these assholes again. Like they didn't have any sort of baggage attached to them. And at the time, Boston was still like, oh, Boston can't win shit, you know?
Yeah.
But things change, and next thing you know.
Well, and there is audio evidence too. I don't want to act like we have never liked the Alabama Clemson games. Mm-hmm. Let the audio that still floats around the internet somewhere of, I don't know, using a kicker as a lead blocker on what down and distance was that, folks?
A lot.
While we were live on the air,
too many yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a moment of pure joy that. Nothing Clemson has done since can take away from.
I'll go all the way back, though, to one game where a team came in with a Heisman Trophy winner and an unbelievable array of offensive talent, including a double-headed backfield duo, including two future NFL starters and a whole bunch of dudes on the line, and an outstanding defense and a championship pedigree, and were favored by a full touchdown in a championship game and lost to little old Texas.
Little old Texas.
Yeah, 2005, I think, was the last one where the neutral could just go full in on the upset card and be totally cool with it.
You're taking that away from the Joe Burrow team, really?
No. And.
Okay.
This is not an or. This is an and.
Okay, but you said the last time a true neutral.
No, before that. Granted.
Okay, so not the last time.
No, yeah, before the Burrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, I defy anyone without bona fides that prohibit it to say that they did not love that 2019 team. You're a liar.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying vis-a-vis Clemson is, what if 5 years from now we're like, oh, Jesus, oh, TCU in the championship. So, God
so
damn it.
It's incomprehensible right now. Like, I'm so sick of Sonny Dykes' shit. Slow the offense down. I can't fucking
pass. Oh, we like, fucking get it. Hypnotoad this and that. Jesus Christ, I'm so sick of this.
If I wanted to watch a sport where I couldn't see the ball, I'd turn on the NHL.
Yeah, because we got tired of Texas in like 30 seconds. We were like, woo!
Okay, Texas helped with that.
They did. But we got extremely tired of Texas being good.
Imagine TCU legislating that you can't make fun of animals that shoot blood out of their eyes.
You can't do their little claw hand. Yeah, the claw hand upside down.
That's so. Have you tried to do that?
That's bowling.
Or have you twist it upside down on its back?
They invented an unmockable tort because it actually.
Yeah, you just look like you're gesturing Italian.
You look like you're Italian, is what you look like.
Yep. And you can't be racist against Italian.
Italy versus TCU. Ryan, where do your allegiances lie?
Wow. But neither team made the World Cup, so that's a real tricky one right there.
My thing is, like, you know, even in a year if the playoff is like Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, those rosters haven't been there before. Many players on those rosters have been there before, but it's always new teams in the playoff. Even if it's four different versions of Alabama in one playoff, those are four new teams. So, like, the next decade of TCU making the playoff every single time, there'll be 10 different iterations of TCU, and they'll all be beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Horned frog in Italian, by the way, is Rana Cornuta. Rana Cornuta.
That sounds like a delicious pastry.
I'm not going to argue with you about Italian versus Latin, because it's
There's definitely red sauce.
20 still 2020.
Mm-hmm.
This pastry shoots red sauce out of its eyes. Correct.
You know, listen.
If you made a donut that did that, you'd make millions.
So the blood that they shoot out is not actually blood, right? It's like digested red ants.
As I understand it, there are many theories.
I'm sorry, what? Did you say digestive actually, red ants?
It's not. It's like the ants that they consume that makes the substance they shoot from their eyes. It's not actually blood, right? Did I make that up?
Ant blood.
Anyway, the thing I'm trying to get around to is many cultures consume ants as a protein source. We probably could come up with some kind of TCU tribute pastry situation that had like an ant date paste. Just throwing it out there.
Sure.
So according to,
or just get some crickets and red dye number three. Hell,
crimson spray that could travel as far as 4 feet. Like proportionally, that means like you would be able to shoot blood like 80 feet out of your eyes.
That's conversion on fourth and one is what that is right there. Mm-hmm.
And it is blood. It is blood. Yes. There are blood-filled sinuses within the eye sockets of horned lizards.
All right. So here's what we do.
I legit thought it had to do with their diet, and it was some other substance that just got apocryphally called blood. That's so much more metal. Thank you.
We make a jelly donut in the shape of a horned frog's head. Mm-hmm. We leave spots at the corners of the eyes. We fill it with blood orange jelly. And when you squeeze it, it squirts. And we are
And now we don't even have to worry about finding ants. This is fantastic.
But also...
They'll find ants.
Ants will find it.
Listen, if you're
ants will find us.
If you're squirting jelly everywhere, not an issue.
Yeah. Oh my God, we're going to be so rich.
In the medieval, this is how they believed ants were created. We're from jelly donut spray on the wall.
I mean, that's not that far off from...
It's pretty much what happens.
You know, we had Cheerwine donuts on New Year's Eve from a bakery in Nashville that could be a starting point here.
Yeah. Also, we'll start a carpet cleaning service at the same time in Fort Worth. Get them
dry cleaning.
Going.
Let's
Get
do dry cleaning
and dry
first.
Cleaning. Yeah.
And crime.
I like just carpet cleaning. Just fuck your walls. Your walls are red now.
Coming and going would be just like carpet cleaning and crime scene cleanup.
Also, we draw
that
ants.
Shit on your walls. That's Dexter's responsibility.
My Dexter is the name of the frog donut.
My favorite horned frog fact is that they can eat stinging ants. Just like they love them. They're just like, it's spicy.
Spicy.
has TCU, somebody at TCU must have explored how to get the mascot head to shoot blood, right? Like that has to have been discussed.
That's like all the STEM majors at TCU. It's all they work on.
Right. Yeah. Right.
There have been some tragic accidents involving prototypes of the frog shooting blood.
Science omelets are not made without breaking science eggs, all right?
I'm just thinking like a head...
Science toads ejecting... Oh, we're
pure science.
You just put on the headpiece and all of a sudden it's flooded with fake blood. Mm-hmm. Take it off.
Listen, this worked in the... Okay, we're back to James Cameron. This is where the abyss shows us the way forward. The liquid is already pink.
Yep.
He's breathing corn syrup. It's working.
TCU should be in the SEC. Fuck Texas.
There's one anime where when you get in the kaiju, it is the liquid inside that you breathe through. So, like, they'll simply do that, and then you can breathe the blood. Breathe the frog blood. That's what I'm saying.
Breathe 2020. What energy are we taking into 2023?
Breathe the blood.
Breathe the frog blood.
I think there's a decent chance Jason saying that makes it onto a Hypnotoad video at some point.
Oh, I would be so honored.
We love you, Hypnotoad.
Even if enjoy it's just critiques. The spring game.
I enjoy thoughtful, because now that TCU's done many of those Hypnotoad videos, people now feel as if they should apply. They don't do what Holly has suggested, which is meeting the discourse at the level, then seek to go, these are not up to the standard, or these are really shitty shit posts, which is kind of the point. I enjoy people applying their literary critical brain to the
Hypnotoad
videos.
No, I think
videos.
This is, see, in the opposite direction, I think it's an art form.
Yeah.
Like, this is not an instance where I feel like this conversation has to be met at a certain level. This is like creating your own platform on a Z-axis.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with like the y-axis of the conversation, if that makes any sense.
Well, it's correct. Not. Yeah, it's like it's not for you because it's not for anyone. Mm-hmm. It's for it's just
which,
for.
Which, and there's a beautiful there's a beautiful democracy in that, right?
Yeah,
like there's a beautiful equilibrium there.
It's for the Hypnotoad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, praise be his name.
I shitpost, therefore I shitpost.
Out, shit post, in, blood post.
Blood post.
We're going to run through all the humors.
I came up with
black bile post.
Which humor is shit?
In, bile.
I assume that's yellow bile.
Oh.
Yeah.
Or is it Iker? I mean, Iker is black, so that could be the bloody stools.
Yeah. It's like, it's that new baby poop. Mm.
Ooh, that could be the Pantone color. That we were arguing
the Pantone color of 2023. New.
Have you ever? Have
black
any of
cherry
you ever
toilet?
Have any of you ever gotten to tell a newly expectant parent about new baby poop?
Oh, it's thrilling.
Oh
it's
my god! Best.
Have any of you ever withheld it from a new parent and sprung it on someone like as a riff?
Oh god, that's not. Oh god.
I don't think anyone told us. I mean, Emily might have read it in a book or something, but yeah. I don't think anyone warned.
Meconium is the technical
term. Have you ever
term.
Tried to spring that on a sibling, changing your kid's diaper as a goof or something?
No.
All right.
Should've.
There's still time. The year's young.
No, we're done here.
All right.
Imagine going your entire life, and at the age of like 38, you took one meconium shit, and you were like, and it never happened again. It was like, just your colon putting on a goof. Your colon was like, it's
hold
up.
On. We found some amniotic fluid in the back room, and we had to process it for you.
I got a liver that's got a personality, and buddy, I got to tell you.
Y'all crazy for this one.
I'm going back to the old me.
I like this. This is a good segment. Because people who don't have children and have not spent a lot of time with babies are like, what the shit are they talking about?
Oh,
literally, what
the
shit are they talking about?
What am I getting into?
Yep.
Imagine if you could poop roofing tar. That's mm-hmm. exactly what it is.
Imagine if your baby's first poop was like a foreshadowing scene in Alien.
Body.
That's mm-hmm. basically what happens.
Human body's incredible, mm. is the point.
Horn frog versus tar shitter. Who you got?
Horn
is
frog
that the
by
new
40?
UNC mascot? Tar.
How do you think it got on their heels?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not called tar hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yuck. Tar. And that's our show.
There we go. That's it. That's it, everybody. Hey.
There's your title game preview.
Yeah.
Good title game preview.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed. Plus, special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
Hey, I made another in-out list. You guys want to hear? Have you seen these folks? Have you heard about these in-and-out lists
floating
around?
Yes.
I don't know why these are fashionable again this year. Like, we all became Cut Magazine overnight.
I would like to, just briefly, Cerber did a really good Jay Leno pantomime there that nobody else but us will get to enjoy.
Oh, I didn't see.
Wait, I didn't see it. Cerber, do it again.
Oh, my God. It was a
he's
good
got
tie
the head wobble. He's got the tie hole.
Have you tie
never heard of this? Like sit out of the fusion space.
Podcast physical comedy is a true art.
Yeah.
That's in. That's also in.
Yeah, I don't want to hear
in.
That you can't.
Out. Podcasting is a visual medium. In. Podcasting is a tactile medium.
I don't want to hear that you can't accomplish your dreams because Jay Leno is worth so much money. He was just terrible for like 30 years. And people loved it. There's a lot of people without taste out there, and you should take their money.
Buddy, you know we get paid to do this show.
We
right?
do.
We're good at this.
Server, don't drop the ad reads here. This is where the ad reads should not go.
No, don't put the ad reads here. Of course, there are some products which are for the people of great and fine taste.
For the people too
drop,
good for this podcast.
Drop right here. Coors Light, fancy bitches, 2023.
Holly, is there an emotional theme to your in and out list?
No.
Oh, great. I love it.
It's
even
specific
better.
To this podcast.
Okay, please.
But I think you'll get where I'm going. And none of these are up for debate, but I know that we okay. all I know that we all agree.
I think they're all right.
Out Kentucky, in South Carolina.
Can
are
I
these,
ask a clarifying
are these
question?
States or universities? Yeah.
Football.
Both,
football.
Okay. Well, Kentucky is a commonwealth.
Thank you.
I love that one. I love that one.
Okay. Out as Medill grads, in as Michigan alums.
I was really feeling a Syracuse pivot, but...
No, I feel like we got to take on the mantle. You know, two years in a row of beating the daylights out of Ohio State, we got to ride this train till the treads fall off.
What I like about this is...
It's a tank train.
you're describing a theoretical but also real person who graduated from both Medill and Michigan and is now deciding, like, I'm going to lean into the Michigan side of it more than the Medill mm-hmm. side. Yeah.
I mean, that's us, right? Medill was J school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out. This might be controversial, but I stand by it. Out. Waffle House fight videos. In. Huddle House Underground Pie Gal videos. Be the change we want to see.
I honestly think I've seen enough Waffle House fight videos.
I do too. This last one made me clear that I feel like our work is done to an extent, and now that 700 people tag us in every Waffle House fight video, we can be assured that it's ready to leave the nest. The concept of the Waffle House fight video is ready to leave our care, and we need to start nurturing an underground network of Huddle House casinos and the fracases that ensue therein.
Can I propose one corollary?
Sure.
Again, not an or, but an and.
Mm.
I would like to add, we're gaming at the Panera. That's what we're doing. We're going to have a land party at the Panera.
Ooh, Panera land party. Okay.
You know Panera what? Land party.
Paneras tend to have like a large enough footprint mm-hmm. and they have lots of weird corners and mm-hmm. sort of walls yeah. where I think you could successfully run like a 3-hour blackjack table at a Don't Panera they? Before a manager came over and was like, y'all need to leave, please.
Mm-hmm. That's when you cut the manager in.
That's right. Be like, hey, man, right. it's just a $5 table, so really anyone's all right. Well, I might as well
$5 at Panera?
What are you getting, water? Pay off the manager not to throttle the Wi-Fi, and yeah. you're in business.
Or we just crack open the laptops and we're like, hey, buddy, we're playing Counter-Strike Go.
Everybody. For the Panera, it's like a $17.99 buy-in.
Yeah. Now, what do we oust in favor of, what do we put out to make room for Panera, though? What do we kick out?
The other Waffle House fight videos.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Also, ironically liking Taco Bell as opposed to loving Taco Bell. Which
there's no. I maintain for the 17,000 years in a row that there's no such thing as liking something ironically.
I don't. I think there are people who like Taco Bell ironically in that they like the brand, but those are not people who eat the food. Nobody eats Taco Bell ironically.
Sure. Mm. I think there are performative likers.
Yes. Yes.
Aren't really about this life.
Okay, I'm saying, okay, I see what you're saying.
The inclusivity there, Jason.
Like, it's the kind of person who would be like, I would love to buy a Taco Bell hoodie, and I would never eat at Taco Bell.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, fuck those people.
Right.
Yeah, people yeah. who like, are just, like, I like to be perceived as a dirtbag.
But I mean, like, if you're eating Taco Bell, you're not eating it sarcastically. That doesn't no. work. There's no such
you
thing.
Know, I'll tell you what, your body's certainly not digestively yeah, digesting it as a joke. As a
your stomach buddy. Is staring up at you like, oh, you think you're funny, huh?
We'll see who Man, laughs last, should, won't we?
Did y'all ever see Cranium Command at Epcot?
No.
Mm-mm. Just redo it. So Cranium Command was this, it was like the world of the body. It was the pavilion that had the double helix on top, the like pink and blue and
but
gold.
But it's not
helix.
Body Wars, which
and
is
Body
that.
Wars is in the same pavilion.
Okay. Okay.
And Cranium Command was like right next to Body Wars. And okay. It was kind of the same principle where you went inside this stadium theater, and it was kind of like a kid-friendly version of Body Wars where you watched from behind the... It was also kind of a precursor to Inside Out as you watched a team of plucky engineers pilot the brain of a young person going through uh-huh. their day.
Okay.
And, you know, when they got mad, steam would throw out yep. all the from all the gears and stuff. Anyway, reboot that as insult comedy.
Ooh.
That's what I'm saying.
Good plan.
Yeah. Also, bring back Horizons. This concludes my Epcot thoughts.
You'd bring right. back Horizons. I would bring back... I want to bring back, for comedy's sake, the old pro-fossil fuel. Which one was that? It was the one that was sponsored by like Shell, and it was basically like, yeah.
oh, methane or clean hydrogen.
It was like the world
whatever.
Of energy.
Green
they
hydrogen?
Were, yeah, they were like,
oh, that was oh god, that was Exxon sponsoring the dinosaur ride.
Yes, yes, it was basically like, let's thank these own. Dinosaurs for all the hard work they did making yeah. our cars run.
Damn.
that was the whole thing. Listen, let's bring that shit back.
If you convert to solar, these dinosaurs died for nothing. for nothing.
That is the actual message. They were like, oh, the pageantry of Earth presented to us for use. These and dinosaurs. Then,
because it wasn't like creepy neoliberal enough, it later became sponsored by Ellen, and it was like Ellen's Energy Adventure.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I'm not making this up.
Sure.
Have you guys seen Cole? What's up with Cole? I like
that's
Cole.
Not
who
Ellen.
Doesn't like
that's
Cole?
Not how Ellen works.
Yeah, she you, does work like
no,
that.
No, you just say Cole and then you do a dance. That's Ellen. Oh. You're doing Seinfeld.
Cole. By Cole the way, this is
you slap a servant.
Yeah. This is not some long ago thing, by the way. That ride was open till 2017. I can't actually believe time. That it didn't surge in popularity during the Trump administration. Or they just frittered the... Did they embezzle? That's probably it.
It probably became too high profile. Like, people showed up to, like, roll Cole at Epcot.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm going to roll Cole at Epcot. Somebody did that. You know someone did.
Yeah, so I mean, there's America in the Taste of the Nations thing. There's an America
oh, that's your neighborhood, there, so. Right, Jason?
Yes, I live just north of it.
All right, what's next?
I have a suggestion.
Wait, is Holly done?
Oh, yeah, that was it. I had three things.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, wow. That's pretty easy.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, I have shared this one with you because it requires a profile, or it requires you need to see the image, okay?
Just right as he said that, it got super dark in
it
here.
It did, okay. Mm-hmm. Since I have a feeling that they're not going to be providing customer service much longer... or much else for much longer. We got to get out with Tesla. We don't have to mention it as part of our lives or anything at all, even as a joke, even laughing. Doesn't have to be anything you know about, right? Because everything that has gone wrong with them can go wrong. We need to bring in the Changli EV. That's right.
There's a lot of kids left to get hit in crosswalks before that's true, but go ahead.
You can't do that with the Changli EV. You know why? Okay. It weighs as much as a child.
Oh, that's
okay.
Cute. It'll a child easily defeat it.
A child can easily defeat the Changli EV in combat, one-on-one, okay? A 9,000...
Become ungovernable in the carpool, Kaylee.
I'm not kidding you. The curb weight is 551 pounds.
How why much does, do you think a child weighs?
Why does the bed tilt back?
Why wouldn't it?
Okay. It's a dump truck, man.
So that the car behind you can jump up in it Mario Kart style.
The whole bed tilts.
My stackable dump trucks.
Honestly, my only regret about this vehicle is that it didn't come out like 20-ish years ago, because this would have been a mainstay in like Cash Money music videos or something like that. It would have absolutely been
dumping cash.
Yes,
dumping cash out of
on the highway, driving 70 miles per hour, dumping cash behind you.
We're going to replace the Rough Riders ATVs with these things.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
This belongs 100%. On the Hand in the Dirt product doc. Mm.
Yes, it does.
Who like, is charge- most like of the Hit Deep post, who's most likely to acquire this?
Me, because I'm irresponsible with money.
Okay.
But also, I just want to take it down to Clemson and help JBF like move some rocks around.
Sure. Mm.
And I think I could do that with this.
That'd be Serbert, fun. I know that you... right now or feeling a sensation along your right index finger. And right now that sensation is moving the cursor over to the buy it now button.
Yes.
Right?
Can, that's what you're trying. Is it like Amazon?
All right, hold on. There's one that you
just
should know.
You a Changli.
Hold on. I'm going to click buy it now and see what happens.
Server, how far away, so roughly, time-wise, how far away do you live from Clemson?
Like two, I think it was 2.5. Also, okay. I don't have a good idea because we always
in Vermont. Okay. Also, I should point out
the top speed of this vehicle is 28 miles per hour.
No, so I'm towing it there.
Drive.
I'm okay. towing it there.
Just restoring family life by returning the Sunday drive.
I'm living green by towing this little tiny truck.
Chicks and ducks and geese.
Can confirm.
I put my golf cart in the back of my F-350 for the environment.
You should see. I can't. Listener,
trip to get a McFlurry.
Listener, I cannot. I cannot emphasize. God damn it.
It's not my fault. I went to school for this.
I cannot emphasize to you how small the tires are on this thing. It looks like a Mario Kart that you selected the little rollers.
Listen, the Azure rollers are it, man.
Mario Kart, you haven't unlocked anything?
This is the exact midpoint of Power Wheel and Car. Like, this is the middle of that
the uncozy coupe.
Yes.
Options include crank windows. Fuck mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah.
Air conditioner. Optional.
Do they just put a window unit in the back?
Probably cancels out all of the, like,
that's why green the bed tilts, vanishes. Actually, because the window unit goes at the other end.
Yeah, it's to dump the window unit mm-hmm. onto the road mm-hmm. when you're done with it, so you can just pick up another one and keep going.
I think we all agree that that's what happens.
If you have a big enough dog, you could reenact scenes from Jurassic Park with this.
It's a good idea.
You could definitely, like, do the chase
Jason,
scene.
Jason, you okay, have a maybe big enough Felder, dog then. To do this.
Mm-hmm. And now Holly's finger is hovering over the buy it now.
I don't know if this thing could carry our dog.
If you could get this kitted out like a Jurassic Park Jeep, then yeah, I think Felder would go for it.
You could get a rat made
Felder
for
would,
it.
Felder yes. would 100% buy this for Savannah without consulting his wife.
This would be a great first car. Honestly, this is a great first car for a teen because, again, top speed, 28 miles per hour, range, 30 miles, charge time, 6 to 8 hours. So your child is not going on the highway.
They're fundamentally grounded.
Yes, you have basically been like, this. I have literally given you transportation to school and maybe like one sports practice, and that's it. Then you have to come home. You can't go anywhere fun in this car. Okay. But it's yours, and it's teeny.
I may have, just in case...
AAA creates a new package just to tow you home from Wendy's twice a week.
Just in case you
for
don't...
For a calendar year.
Just in case you don't want this to be your car.
What do you mean you don't want maybe, this to... Who doesn't want this to... Whatever.
Maybe you want
Spencer
something
Spencer is inventing
stranger.
Theoretically someone who doesn't
in
want
theoretically.
Yeah. Spencer, you're off the
can I
you have to remember to actually
electric...
link out to this, by the way,
yes.
because people
can I interest
really
you in an electric...
No, tactile experience.
If they want.
Yeah,
an electric
right.
tricycle, which Changli advertises as
what?
On their website, King of Load.
I want it. I want the wait. Is this like one of those electric tricycles? Is this like one of those tricycles that my grandpa drove around the retirement village in Florida and knocked over mailboxes with?
I have shared.
But it's electric.
I have shared the link, and I await the oohing and cooing that you will do once you click on it and see that you can get a $10,000 electric.
Oh, that's too big. Okay, that's like a. Oh, that's like one of those.
It's a tuk tuk.
Tuk tuk.
It's a tuk tuk.
Yeah.
To get an electric tuk tuk delivered to your house.
I don't need a windshield.
For 10 grand.
Is there an electric tricycle that goes dangerously fast?
I think this is dangerous at any speed, frankly.
It tips over more easily. Yeah, but that's too... Listen, the electric tricycle on this thing is too fancy for my simple country heart.
Listen,
I just want a tricycle with a basket and a bell and like an outboard motor.
If we can get a partnership going... If we can make this the Tootsie's Tuk Tuk, we're going to make a lot of Nashville money off this. A lot of Nashville
money. The King of Load!
The Tuk Tuk Toddy, y'all! Oh, God. I just threw up a little
it
bit.
Is, this is advertised. It is more suitable for rural areas, farms, and forests.
I said bile was out, but there's bile in my mouth.
Same.
Yeah. My only hesitation with this company.
Cerber, why are you rubbing your eyebrows like that?
Because he just bought one.
That's something in my eye. I wasn't crying over the beauty of them.
What's unreasonable about... I thought you were shaking your head at us. Okay.
My only hesitation with this company is they offer four products. The tricycle, the mini SUV, the mini pickup truck, and just a mini car. And they each cost $10,000. Like, there's no price
difference. I like the target approach.
Yeah.
Which one do you want?
Yeah.
I think that makes them seem trustworthy.
Sure. Great. How much does a car cost? I don't know, 10 grand.
Listen, how much do you ultimately know about how much a car costs when you buy a car? Nothing.
No. I'd say I've learned more from Price is Right than I have purchasing cars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Price is Right must be so easy with these because $10,000. That's correct.
You don't know how much manufacturing anything costs, right?
No.
When you walk in to buy a car, you want to spend as least money as possible and you want something that you'll feel comfortable with paying. And these people recognize that.
Hey, it doesn't cost 10 grand, does it? No, $9,999.
No, I'd rather have 10. It seems more trustworthy.
Well, if you want to buy the luxury one, you just pay another dollar more. It's the luxury class. They give you a free t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know. I think they're
This website also has footage of the car in motion. Normally, this is the kind of thing to make the car seem sporty and appealing. This only undermines my confidence in the product of seeing it in motion.
I like, if you click add to cart, just the whole ass car goes in there. It's not like, which options do you want?
No.
Which features?
Tell me more about this cart that contains this vehicle.
The one that Jason is also
buying. How do I buy the cart?
The cart is $9,999.
This is like nesting dolls that are all the same size, so they just kind of wedge in around each other's shoulder blades.
I imagine a Willy Wonka situation where they just have like remote control cars or like little tiny cars that they just put into a machine and it comes out the other side of the Little Caesars conveyor belt and it's a little mini car there for you.
I have an unrelated story. I went home for Christmas. I can't stop playing with these chimes. I have a story. I went home to Tennessee to see my parents for Christmas last week. I got there like 30 minutes ahead of the polar vortex, and my mom said, "Oh, there's pizza in the fridge. Help yourself." My parents are not normally like pizza eating people, and I was like, "Why is there pizza in the fridge?" She's like, "Well, you know, we're doing big cooking the next couple of days, and we didn't want to cook tonight, but every place is closing early. And your dad called around, and he said he drove by some place that had, and the way she was describing it, like, our town is not large. There's a very limited selection of pizza options. And I knew she couldn't have meant the good pizza place, or she would have said so. And she's like, you know, he drove by this place and they had just a stack of pizzas right there. And I'm collecting information bit by bit. And I'm like, Mom, did Dad go to Little Caesars on Christmas Eve? And she's like, yeah, that's what it was. And anyway, she's like, they had pizzas already there. And it was, I've never watched like a space alien introduced to the concept of hot and ready. But I can't decide if it was beautiful or alarming.
My last visit to a Little Caesars, I saw a guy get the cops called on him because they didn't have pizza ready for him when he got there.
Oh, we have a cop story. We have another cop story too from this is one story from one perspective, but it's a complete other one from a different perspective. We were getting ready for the show, and one of Spencer's children called, and they were laughing hysterically.
Because I saw somebody at Great Wolf Lodge get kicked out.
There's a bar apparently at Great Wolf, the Water Slide Hotel, which I did not know.
If you've never been to the Water Slide Hotel,
you have to describe what this is. Yeah.
So Great Wolf Lodge is an indoor water park. They're located usually between two metropoli. This one is located in LaGrange, between, you know.
Like if you're driving to Epcot from Nashville and you just give out, this is about halfway, very smart.
So you just stop there, you put the kids up in a hotel room with yourself, and you go to the big circular bar in the middle, and your kids go on the heavily supervised water slides.
Yeah, there's like an alcoholic panopticon right in the middle, and then there's water slides. I've never been, but I'm looking at photos. But we were getting ready for the show, and the children who are still at the hotel call laughing hysterically because police were here and a man got thrown out and he had a blue and yellow shirt that said butt on the back in big letters.
And I was like, what number was that on there? And they were like, 88? And I was like, blue and yellow? Yeah. So some guy.
So they're dying laughing because a guy with a shirt that said butt on it got taken away by the police. Meanwhile, we're approaching this from a completely different set of hilarious circumstances. Go
which
blue.
Which is that Jake Butt or his other.
It wasn't him.
I don't
actually know that it wasn't him. That's fair.
He does have a large family, and they all like his shirt.
Sure.
Because who wouldn't?
Aww. Jake Butt, call us. Sound off in the comments
if you were hanging out. I don't think, although it was a good night it was a good day. If you were getting kicked out on New Year's Eve, I can understand. You were emotional. Things were fraught.
The universe knew.
Sir, we're taking you out. you're too full of go blue. We need you to step outside.
I have a college football out and in I would like to propose.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Out complaining about conference realignment. We're just done with it. It's the thing that happens. Can't control it. In complaining about conferences existing in the first place.
Yes, fuck yes.
Everybody should be independent.
Yeah.
Everybody. Ooh. If you're in a conference, you're a coward and a quitter. There are only, what are we down to, like four?
Yeah.
True warriors.
Did the Alamo save Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone?
Yeah, now that, I mean, so Navy is surrendering, BYU is surrendering.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Liberty, of course, they're cowards.
Yep. Mm. So
can we start phasing this by going back to the year, I think, the year before Penn State joined the Big Ten? Was that 91, somewhere around there?
Or the year before, I was going to say the year before the Big East formed, is because that's where you get a bunch of independents joining.
Let's go
up.
Back to the 80s. Let's start with there, because then you get a big block of independents.
Give me a year. What do you want to say, 1988?
That's a good, well, no, Notre Dame won the title. Let's go
87. Wait, 80s for conferences, but we need to tick the clock back far enough to where we're doing a full open invite for bowl season, right?
Yeah, can you go 84?
Okay, sure. Here's where we're at in 1984. This is according to Sports Reference. We have at this point 110 teams playing what we now call FBS football. We have several conferences that no longer exist in this format, but that's fine. Here are the independents as of that year. These are ranked in order of wins and losses. Boston College, South Carolina, Army, Rutgers, Florida State, Virginia Tech, West Virginia, excuse me, Miami, Notre Dame, went 7-5, Louisiana, Penn State, Syracuse, Temple, Memphis, Navy, Southern Miss, Pitt, Tulane, Cincinnati, East Carolina, and Louisville.
That is 21 independents.
That's a great fucking lineup.
It's a good number. Let's see. The year before we had 23. The year before we had 25. Oh, man. See, 28 the year before that. They're just dwindling. 30 in 1980. Look at this. Mm-hmm. Look at these cowards scurrying.
And here is what you got as a result. So Boston College went 10-2, finished fifth in the AP poll. Here's a sampling of who they played. Alabama, North Carolina. The independents all end up having to play each other. Because the conference schools, you know, will only make room for a little bit of them. They played Holy Cross, and then they played Houston in a bowl game. Miami that year got to play, this is, I think, early Jimmy Johnson Miami, if memory serves. They played Auburn and Florida to start the year, beat them both. And then they played Michigan and Purdue. And then they played Rice. And then they played Maryland, who was an ACC team and always will be. Like, This was a better way to live. This was just a much, much better way to live.
Seems relaxed.
The high point I've found so far is 1974 with 37 independents, just in the equivalent of FBS.
Who's the sketchiest sounding? Who's the sketchiest sounding one of them? Who's the one that you're like, oh, that's not a real school?
I mean, it's Lamar was FBS. Quote okay. Fingers FBS at the time.
Yeah, because...
here's the answer. Tampa. The Tampa
University of Tampa was independent.
Yes!
Oh,
that's
man.
Right. Yeah,
independent FBS at the time. You also had teams we think of as FCS teams. This was before the formal split, so there's a lot of weird stuff in here. Texas Arlington. What is that?
This is getting
Did
me
they
closer
they change their
name
to UT Arlington Mavericks? Is that a different school now?
I don't know, but Mavericks is a cool-ass name for a football team. I also...
No, they're still the Mavericks.
Still the Mavericks, right.
Tampa went 6-5 in 1974.
You ever heard anyone from Tampa refer to them as UT? It's a delight. I went to UT, and you're like, oh, man, hey, go Vols.
So when they watch Friday Night Lights, and they're like, oh, coach is taking the job at UT, and they're like, oh, he's coming our way.
So here's the good trick, Tampa.
Can you imagine a Friday Night Lights that ends in Tampa?
Here's the good trick, Tampa.
That last shot is Coach and Mrs. Coach just strolling off the field, and they're just kicking like empty Four Loko cans out of their way.
The dream.
The good trick forever. Tampa pulled in 1974 was they played 11 games.
Florida forever asterisk.
They played 11 games and didn't make a bowl game. They only played four road games because when you're an independent, you could just be like, yeah, man, do you want a trip to Tampa or not? Villanova, we're not giving you a home and home. Southern Miss, we're not doing that shit either. Just come here.
See, this I'm pretty sure.
You know what that is? It's direct communication, which people so often mistake for rudeness.
The year before, they played 3 road games in an 11-game schedule. Tampa wasn't traveling. Like, we talk shit about, oh, Florida won't travel for this, that, and the other. Nah, man. Tampa had it on lockdown. They were like, we have enough money for 6 bus trips. One there and one back for each. That's it.
1936, let's say this is as far back as we're going. It was the first year of the AP poll. Anything before the AP poll is just kind of like, what the fuck is happening? There's nothing to correlate it to our current situation. There were 43 independents.
God.
From Santa Clara on down through Wofford and Syracuse.
A better life is possible.
Yeah, and as far as conference bowl ties go, I think we are on the right track with the playoff breaking up some of that, and with ESPN buying 12 of them and deciding this is all the same game. So, like, if everyone goes independent and ESPN continues monopolizing bowl season and homogenizing it all into one big pile, we will have achieved.
Like, because the NCAA, this is an important thing to remember, because the NCAA does not run college football's championship structure the way they run every other sport in college athletics.
Including football.
If enough teams went independent, yes, including FCS and all the other divisions of football. If enough teams went independent and 1 and 2 got to the end of the season and said, you know what? We would rather not play in the 12-team playoff. We will just play ourselves. We will just play our own national championship game. There would be nothing. There's no conference to go yell at. What could you do to stop them? Nothing. Independence is the road to a better, more promising future. So stop complaining about conferences realigning and who's stronger and who's weaker, and encourage every school you possibly can to break free of their shackles and just go their own goddamn way.
Conference realignment is it's all lateral moves. Mm-hmm. Which conference is better? None of them, because they're still a conference.
Conference devolution is what I'm rooting for.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a very, very, like, conference UK de-alignment. Scottish thing. That's perfect, right?
Yes, that's right.
The old sod! Lad, we're bringing Swanee back to the SEC! It's happening!
Listen, Tulane had a better season than, like, all but two or three schools in the conference.
It's true. See, bring it back.
Well, like, it's not stolen valor if we say, hey, got a win over USC. We'll take any SEC bowl wins we can. I say that as the resident SEC honk on this podcast.
That is, I think there's a way to make that enjoyable and amenable for everyone, which is to call USC a Big Ten team. Then a Big Ten team lost. Everyone loves that.
I have a totally unrelated one.
Oh, so do I. I forgot I had a fourth one.
Okay. Mine is this. Out is regular swimwear that you actually go into the water with.
Yeah.
In, we're bringing back in, we're bringing it back, beachwear and cruise wear. Okay? Things you wear when you're near the water, but that you absolutely could not wear in the water.
Do you mean like linen pants?
Yes, I'm referring specifically, and this will get us somewhere else that I know we wanted to go. Everything that Benoit Blanc wears in Glass Onion, right?
Including in the pool.
He does wear it in the pool, which is maybe the funniest thing in the entire thing, is Daniel Craig sitting very seriously with the bandana tied at the side of his neck in a full linen, like floral beach romper.
It's a romper.
A romp him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there was a little false start on the romp him trend a couple of years back. I just want to go ahead and keep this going. Okay. I'm going to go ahead. It's time. It's good. Boys, we're only doing flowy things.
Okay.
We're only doing linens. Okay.
This is very Greco-Roman.
I hear where you're going with this, but everything else we're talking about is very much like, we're putting it out into the universe and seeing if it takes hold. But you can be the change here, and my question is, will you be that change?
No, because I don't take care of linen. But I think other people should.
Well, specific about the fabric, though? Because are there other fabrics that we could use?
I think you could do some cottons. I think that could work, right?
Are you putting too much on your plate because you've already committed to bringing tank tops?
Hold on.
Back than they are.
I'm going to Google something.
Can you go
tank top rompers?
Tank top rompers.
Ooh, well, that's dangerously close to an old 19th century bathing suit.
That's like baggy singlet.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we're headed to singlet life. And you know what? I'm going to follow the muse. If the muse is taking me to singlet, we're just going to look like early 20th century wrestlers, right? I'm going to look like George Hackenschmidt. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. That'll happen at the beach.
Some guy named Carl Gotch.
You have the weirdest tan line.
Boys, this season we're dressing like Carl Gotch. We're only doing cripplers. We're only boxing like we've got a handlebar
like kangaroos.
Yeah.
So this is what you wear to the water. In the water, is that...
Spencer can't swim, no, so he doesn't know.
I can't swim, so it's
in the water.
Completely irrelevant.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
Nude. Yeah, no, we would go very close to the water, and we would appreciate mm-hmm. the shore. Remember,
when you're looking down at the water,
mm-hmm.
but not in
Remember,
it.
At one point it was called the seaside, because that's all you went, right? Like in the 19th century, they were like, oh, Neville, let's go to the seaside. And they would go, ah,
yeah, you built like a whole
water.
You built like a whole side wood sidewalk with a fence.
People at one point in history were so hydrophobic that they were just like, build the town right up to the water.
They couldn't swim. Do you not understand that?
They didn't want to.
Plus, their underwear was very heavy.
Yeah, that's true.
Bathing
super heavy. Yeah.
And I mean, basically, they're swimming in mascot outfits.
Plus, like, for a long time, large portions of Europe were, like, terrified of water. Like, oh, it'll wash your skin off. Like, you can't bathe more than twice a year or you'll evaporate.
Yep.
That's why they sent ladies to the sea to take the air so that they would slowly wither away and stop being problems.
Why don't you go to Bristol? It's lovely.
Ugh.
Go to
Has there ever been... No. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, that was it. The English were so afraid of water that they built gigantic boats to insulate themselves from it and to get to more land. That was it. They were like, ooh, gross
is that
water.
Is that why the British Empire was thinking, they were like, God, we got to find somewhere with no water. Shit.
Yeah.
All these places have water.
We found dry stuff to steal.
If only Britain had gone to the moon, but you didn't, you idiots.
It's so dry, you'd love it there.
You would love it there.
It's flavorless. It's unspiced.
Beige.
There's so much stuff you can steal.
Mm.
Rocks. They're yours now. Because anything you look at, you think it's yours.
They'll be so mad when they find that American flag, though. No!
Yikes.
Fucking colonists.
They'll just steal that.
It's true.
The flag will be in the British Museum.
Listen. I, no joke, if England started a space program specifically to go to the moon and steal the American flag and put
capture
it in the British
flag.
Museum.
What an own.
That would be the most gangster shit I've ever heard of.
Then
I wouldn't be mad for a second.
Then we send
go
in,
back there and put a bigger flag.
Yeah, well, we send in like Redneck James Bond to go break into the British Museum mm-hmm. and steal the flag.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we just send Nick Cage. Never mind. That's fine.
All right, Holly, Redneck James Bond feels like a real toss to you for your next thing.
Funny story. Yeah. Out is 1883 and in is 1923. I have talked before about Yellowstone, the television program. I need to know before I continue how many of you have watched Yellowstone? Anybody?
No.
Okay. If you have not watched Yellowstone and for some reason you want to, I don't know, skip ahead a little bit. Yellowstone, as I have mentioned before, is a program I encourage you to watch the first three or four episodes of and then quit, because the first parts of the episode, or the first parts of the series, deal entirely with, this is how they open the series, Kevin Costner having to cover up inadvertent and on-purpose murders committed by his adult children, of which he has like five. And if they had done this like a procedural, and every week one of his like rich fail sons and terrifying daughter killed somebody else, and he had to make that body go away, that's an amazing show,
mm-hmm.
and I would watch that. But instead, I encourage you to think of it as a miniseries where all he does is cover up the ranch murder of the week and go on. So anyway, there's sort of a
reverse Law and Order,
right? So there were two. There were two spinoffs to Yellowstone that were greenlit, and one was called 1883, and it's about Kevin Costner's family first coming to the ranch, and one is called Four Sixes, and it's named after the real life Four Sixes Ranch in Texas, where they shoot a bunch of the Texas ranch footage, which the show's creator and a bunch of the production team now co-own. Like, they bought this ranch in real life. Taylor Sheridan, by the way, made Hell or High Water, so he can do no wrong as far as acting like a crazy person is concerned. I'm fine. He has carte blanche forever. Four Sixes hasn't been heard from in a minute. It kind of went quiet, and no one knew why. And then all of a sudden, they announced a third spinoff, which is 1923. And the reason that happened is because before 1883 got to the end of its first season...
Is that the one with Harrison Ford?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
1923 is the one with Harrison Ford. This is 1883 is the one with Faith Hill and Tim McGraw. Not kidding.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, so there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And so the studio went to, as happens sometimes with smash hits, the studio went to and I am eliding a lot of this, and if I get basic facts of this wrong, don't criticize me or correct me, because this is too good.
That's another thing we're leaving in 2022.
Correct. We'll get to Logan Lucky in a minute. But they went to greenlight a second season of 1883 before 1883 had finished, not knowing that 1883 ends with Taylor Sheridan killing off the entire main cast, including the narrator in the season finale.
Wow. Awesome.
They were like, and apparently they got ahead of him and they announced this, and he was like, So the network was like, time travel noises, time travel noises.
1923.
And now they've just skipped ahead again. To kill. Anyway, 1883 was boring, and it's fine that everybody in it died. But I don't know. I don't know how long they're going to keep up doing this, but I really love the notion of just Taylor Sheridan committing time-traveling Western murders. Because I was like, oh, the beauty of the West! And he keeps making these shows like, it's hard and everyone dies! It's a beautiful vision of America. We shouldn't be here.
I want the bottom of the barrel version of this, where it's 1993 with Dana Holgerson and Gretchen Wilson.
I'm pretty sure seasons 3 through 5 of Yellowstone are the bottom of the barrel, but
2003 is the one you're looking
for. Oh my God. Yeah. Kevin Costner with frosted tips.
Fat pants. Like
Avril Lavigne. Like,
cowboys and JNCOs. Just run around. Just like, what if that's a brand? Like,
I can't get off my horse. It's caught in the
boss. The JNCO boys are in town today, and it's just like you hear this instead of the stirrups jingling and the spurs jingling. It's just these jeans swishing together.
They're by God, here come dem franchise boys.
Anyway, once again, I'm going to go back myself and watch the first couple episodes and tell you exactly where to stop. But
what ranch you come from? The white tea.
The tall tea.
Hey there, Delilah. Anyway, ooh, I cannot Western. Encourage you enough to just watch the first few episodes of this and then quit.
Server, that's yours. You got to make that.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in town. To kind of
third ranch from
murders,
the rock
to think about murders.
Manic Pixie Dream Horse.
Straight Bangs in Johnson City.